None other like you. But Lord, we thank you that you love us and that you have brought us into your family. We thank you that you love us enough that if one strays, Father, that you are concerned with that one and that you would go looking for the one lost sheep, Father. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. I said, good morning. All right. I was beginning to wonder for just a minute. But, you know, I understand you may have eaten so much over the holidays, you may still be kind of lulled down. I don't know how it was at your house, but around our house, there was probably a little too much eating that went on. And we're probably going to be having leftovers still for a few days. You know, anybody else dealing with that situation? You know what they would do down in South Louisiana now, if there's any of the turkey or the carcass or anything like, you take that and you boil that and then you'd make a gumbo out of everything that's left. If you need some hints on that, we can help you with that. But as we come together, this is the last Sunday of 2018 when we meet to worship again as a church for the next time on next Sunday. We'll be officially into the year 2019. And you know, as we come to the end of the year and we get ready for a new year, sometimes as we come to the end of the year, it's like, whew, man, I'll be glad for 2018 to end. Some of you may have had a year like that, where that it's been not necessarily bad, but it's been fast-paced. There's been a lot going on. And you kind of have in your mind that if you can get into 2019, you've been looking at Christmas and New Year's as kind of the hump. And if you can get over the hump, then it's going to get better. It's going to get easier. And some of you may have had a really good year. It may have been fast-paced, but you may have been enjoying it. And you will enjoy it right up to the last minute. But you know, as we start looking at the new year, we're kind of in that point in between right now. We're in the waiting. We're in the waiting as 2018 ends and 2019 begins. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Things to remember while waiting. You know, that's probably, when we think about waiting, it's probably one of my least favorite things in the world to do. How many of you enjoy it? You go to the doctors and you get to wait. If you were in the military, many of you remember the phrase, hurry up and wait. You hurry up to get somewhere so you can wait then. But you know, when we think about waiting, what we think about often is we're at a time of inactivity. We're at a time that's non-productive. We're at a time when we feel like there could be something better done with our time than waiting. But you know, throughout Scripture, God repeatedly tells us about waiting. It talks about the benefits of waiting on the Lord. And so I hope that you'll slow down this weekend and you'll take some time to think about what is happening while we're waiting sometimes. You can open your Bible up to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Now, this chapter, a lot of people believe that it's written somewhere during the Babylonian captivity. It's not dated exactly so that we would know, but probably certainly somewhere during the Assyrian, Babylonian, or Persian empires, when that Israel and Judah have somebody occupying them and many of them have been taken away captive. Not a good time. If you remember the Babylonian captivity, it was something that took place and lasted for 70 years. So for some people, this was the majority of their life. It was all that they ever knew. But as Isaiah writes this, Isaiah starts out with words of comfort. As a matter of fact, he says, comfort, speak comfort to my people. As he moves further down in the chapter, he says, herald of good news, herald of good news, tell the good news to my people. And as God is speaking these words of encouragement to them in these chapters, you know, the interesting thing about God is He's telling us what He's going to do, but He knows exactly where we're at. And sometimes, have you ever had somebody speak something to you that you maybe you knew it was the truth, but you didn't want to hear it right then? It just didn't fit with the mood you were in. It didn't fit with the place you were in. You see, as we look at this, God is telling them what He's going to do. But as we come down to verse 27, then God asked a question. He asked a question that revealed that He knew where Israel was. And we're not just talking about geography, but we're talking about where they were in their thinking, where they were in their emotions and in their thoughts. He says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God?" He asked that question. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, well, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? He said, right now, if you want to break this down, he said, you're really asking God, where are you? Where are you in the midst of my circumstances right now? Because it really feels like I've been forgotten. You know, you may be at that point. You may be at that place. You may be at a place where you are very much aware of the presence of God. But at any given time, what I've seen in the church is there are people all the way across the spectrum. There are those who are on that bottom end struggling, and there are those who are up on the higher end where the things are going well and they're praising God. And I think God is so gracious in that He doesn't allow the whole church to get down at one time. He puts us together so that we can lift each other up and we can minister to each other. But as He begins to speak to them, He starts off with a question saying, hey, here's the deal. I really know where you're at and what you're thinking. Have you ever thought to yourself, I sure am glad nobody knows what I'm thinking? How many of you are glad that you don't have that cartoon bubble? You know, they talk about this new technology. They're talking about developing a pair of glasses where that you could stand up on the podium like I am now, and you could see everybody's electronic feed. Otherwise, I'd be able to see your Twitter. I'd be able to see your Facebook. How many of you are glad that's not happening? I will tell you, I am. But when we come together and we think about that, that's the first thing that we see here. I want you to know God is aware of what is going on in your life at all times. Now I want to read the rest of the passage. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We're real familiar with those last few verses. We talk about waiting on the Lord. But as we come to it, we need to put that in light of the fact that God is asking this question. Why do you think I don't know where you are? And then he asked a couple, have you not heard? Basically what he said, have you not heard who I am? Now it may sound a little bit self-promoting, and it would be if it were you or I. We can't be like Joe Namath used to be. Joe Namath used to say, it's not bragging if you do what you say. But he was known for his cockiness. Many times he did deliver, but he's a man. And sometimes men can't deliver everything that they promise, because sooner or later there are circumstances that are just beyond your ability to be able to control. But God, on the other hand, when he speaks, he says, have you not known? Have you not heard? And then he begins to tell us some things. He said, here's what you need to remember while you're waiting on me and thinking I'm not watching. Here's what you need to remember. The Lord is the everlasting God. You know, this statement is really what brought me to this passage as we come to this time. Because for us, we think about the years that pass. And you know, every year, now there's some of you that are really young, and at really young ages, you are saying, man, I can't wait till I get older. I can't wait till I get older. If I can get old enough, I'm going to get my driver's license. If I can get old enough, I'm going to graduate from school. If I can get old enough, I'm going to marry that girl or that boy. Our grandson has already told us this next year he's going to get married and immediately have two children. He has no idea who he's going to marry, but he already knows it's going to be a boy and a girl, I think, and he had their names picked out and all of that. I don't know where they get this stuff sometimes. Well, some of you are at that stage where you're saying, you know, I'm okay, but I kind of wish things would slow down a little bit. I remember talking with a man one morning at our brotherhood breakfast at one church. I was stirring the gravy and he was stirring the scrambled eggs and he was talking about getting older. And I was trying to be kind and I said, well, you know, it's not bad. It just doesn't think it'd be that bad to be middle-aged. He said, Brother Eddie, exactly how many 110-year-old men do you know? The fact is, he had crossed that midline that we think about when we think about life. And we're aware of that. And there's some of us as we get older, the farther we move along the spectrum, each year marks some things that maybe are beginning to decline. But you see, here's what God's saying. Time doesn't mean anything to Him. I am everlasting. Before anything was, there was God. After everything else is gone, there will be God. Everything in between is God. And so I want you to understand something. When we look at something and we think about, I don't know how to deal with this, I don't have any experience. Listen, God has all the experience that all eternity has been able to bring. But even without the experiencing it, He already knows. And so as we think about that, we think about life in the terms of the years of a man. We may think 70 or 80 years. Some people live past that, but I think the median average age right now in the United States is around 80 years old. Now, we also know that there are a whole lot of people that won't make it to 80. We all assume we're going to be one of those. How many of you? Think about that. I had one uncle that lived to be in his late 80s, and listen, he lived rough. And one of the last conversations that I had with him before things really began to go down, he said, Brother, if I had known I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself. It's not in our hands whether we do or we don't. God determines our days, but our days are short compared to His days. And He's not just working on our timeline. He's working on the timeline of eternity. If this indeed was written during the time of the Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah wrote and he informed the people that they would be there for 70 years. For most of us, that's a lifetime. For some people, that sounded like a death sentence. But what God said was, while you're there, build houses, marry, keep on doing the things that you need, pray for the welfare of the place that you live, for in its prosperity, you'll prosper. In other words, for 70 years, you're going to be waiting, but while you're waiting, keep doing what I've told you to do. You see, because it's not my place or your place to decide the times or the seasons that we live in. God determined that. But God is just as much on the throne when we're in a position where that we are looking and saying, this ain't going the way that I want it to go, or this isn't going the way that I thought it should go. He's everlasting. My short time frame doesn't limit him at all. At all. So while we're waiting, remember that what we feel like needs to be accomplished in a lifetime, God has a bigger picture, and we may only be a part of the puzzle that He's working out for eternity. It's not all about us. It's about Him. But not only that, He goes on and he reminds us that He's not confined by time. God also does not lack the ability to create a way out or through your circumstances. The Bible goes on and says that the creator of the ends of the earth, that He is the creator. We look around us today and we look at the natural world and marvel at what God can do. We look at the snow that falls, and as we look at that, they tell us that no two snowflakes are exactly alike. They use fingerprints to identify people because no two fingerprints from different people are exactly alike. You see, He is a God of infinity, and He does not like the creativity to be able to look at our circumstance and our situation and know how to bring us through it or help us endure it. But we have to trust Him. And that's what He's reminding them. You know, He's been speaking good news to them all through this chapter. But He's saying, listen, here's how you're thinking, but here's the reality of how things are. God knows how to get you where He wants you, at the time He wants you, for the purpose He wants you, even if you think that you have the ability to mess that all up. God, in the end, is able to work in us and through us. Think about some people in the Bible who may have looked at their circumstances and said, this is terrible, this is the end. One of my favorite characters that I speak to y'all about all the time is Joseph in the Old Testament. I mean, he come from a dysfunctional family so bad that his brothers sold him into slavery. They would have killed him, but one of the brothers said, no, let's don't do that. We can make some money off of this. Let's sell him and he'll be gone. And then as he was a slave, Potiphar's wife decided that she wanted to try to have an affair with him, and when he wouldn't consent to that, she lied on him, and he wound up in prison. If there's anybody that would ever say, man, things are so messed up in my life, there's no way that God can get me from where I am to where He wants me to be. But I want you to understand, God was in control and had him right on course everywhere that he was going. And in one move, God moved him from the depths of the dungeon to the height of the throne, second in command of one of the mightiest nations on earth at that time. God doesn't lack the ability to create a way for you out of or through your circumstance. And here's the thing. So many times what we want God, God, get me out of this. But God says, no. No, the direction I need you to go to form you and shape you and make you what I want you to be is through, not out. How many of you can look back through your life and you can see difficulties that God used to shape you into who you are, but now that shaping benefits you, or it benefits others in your life around you? Because remember, it's not always about me. Sometimes I'm being shaped into the tool that God's not going to use for me, but He's going to use me for somebody else. All that Joseph was going through there in the dungeons and in Egypt, it wasn't about Joseph. God was working out His purpose to take care of Joseph's family who had done so much to him that was wrong. You know what? How many of you would that make mad? If you'd had somebody that just really, I mean, they did you absolutely wrong, and God turned around and he began to work things out, and then he said, you know what, you're going to be a blessing to them. If you're honest, sometimes that'd make you pretty mad. That'd upset you. Wouldn't me? I'd be honest with you about it. When we look at this, not only do we see that he is not confined by time and that he doesn't lack the ability to be able to create a way out of or through our circumstance, he does not faint or grow weary. God does not get tired because there is so much to manage. Why is he even saying this right now? Well, I want you to understand that all of the pagan gods around Israel at this time, many of them were seen as having human form and human characteristics. In other words, they got tired, they got hungry, and they didn't know everything. They could be tricked, they could be fooled. What he's saying is, I want you to know there's no other God like me. There's no other God like me. That's exactly what he said to Egypt when he brought on the plagues in Egypt. He assaulted the pantheon of gods in Egypt and he wiped them out. There's no God like the God of Israel. And so when we look at this, I want you to understand, we're not, used to be the old saying, how many of you have heard somebody say, don't want to buy a car that's built on Friday or Monday? You know, don't want it when they first come back in from the week, because you know they may not quite be over the weekend right when they come back in. And don't want it at the end of the week because they ain't paying attention. They're just waiting to get out the door. God's not like that. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't wear out. Even when it comes to us and the grace that he has to show us, he doesn't get tired and he doesn't wear out. There may be some of you saying, man, I could use some of that. I got good news for you a little bit later on. You see, God has the energy and the ability to be able to do what needs to be done without ever even being taxed by it. He created all that is, the Bible says, simply by speaking. And we would like to think we're that good, don't we? We'd like to think, how many of you would like it, guys, if you could say, I just walk into my house and I can say it and it's done. Is anybody here stupid enough to say it? Because you know that that's not the case. That probably don't even work for you with your dog. As far as just going in and being able to say, and it's done, just the way you wanted it, what have you. But when we look at this, it doesn't take God any effort like it does us to make things happen. We wear out. God doesn't. But not only that, God never has to figure out what to do next. You see, it says his understanding is unsearchable. I don't know about you, but on a pretty regular basis, I have to sit down and think about what I'm going to do next. What needs to happen now? And sometimes it's not bad stuff. I mean, sometimes it's just a matter of, hey, I've got things that have to be done. And now, because I don't have that perfect memory, I've got to sit down for a minute and think about, now, what was the next thing on my list that I was fixing to have to do? Or, wait a minute, I just got two phone calls and now that kind of needs to rearrange the priorities. And so what do I need to do next? Or you have something happen at your work, or you happen at your family, you get that notice that you're being laid off. And you have to think about, now what do I do next? God never has to do that. There's never an emergency session in heaven saying, oh no, it has got itself in a mess now. We got to figure out how we're going to take this and how we're going to do something with it right now. God already knows every time I could create a mess, and He already knows how He's going to provide an opportunity to work through it. My limitations don't limit Him. He never had to figure out when Israel was carried off into captivity how and when they would come back. He knew before they were carried off how they were going to be carried off. He knew how long they were going to be there, and He knew how they were going to be delivered back. Who do you think told Jeremiah what to write about the 70 years? It wasn't something that came in Jeremiah's mind. It is the Word of God. It's God who said, here's how it's going to work. Here's what's going to happen. And so if you're in that situation where you're thinking, God, I think You've kind of forgot about me. You're just not aware of things here right now. I want you to understand. No, you have forgotten who God really is. Because God's always been around and He'll always be around. He created everything that you think you're having a problem with right now in this world. And He doesn't ever get tired. He's not wore out or looking off somewhere else. And He has the understanding already to know. As a matter of fact, He's not having to think about it because the Bible describes Him as being omniscient and omnipotent. He knows everything everywhere. That helps me. That helps me when I'm struggling with a day when I'm trying to figure it out. I lean on the promises that we find in the book of Romans when the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will make utterance for us when we don't know how we ought to pray. And I just pray, Lord, I know You've got this covered. I'm kind of slow. I know that don't affect You at all. Help me here. Help me to be able to see this. But you know what? Here's perhaps the greatest thing that you can understand. God gives strength to the weak who wait on Him. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, maybe the reason that we wear out so often, so many times, is because we try to do it in our own strength. We really do place our human limitations on God without thinking about it. When we're worrying about something, we're wondering, God, have you forgotten me? God, have You figured out how we're going to do this? Those questions don't even really apply when it comes to God. God hasn't forgotten anything. Right now, it's incomprehensible for us to be able to understand. I spoke a while ago about having the bubble over your head. Well, listen, it might as well be that way with God. God knows every thought right now of every person that's passing through this place, and it's not even jumbled. He's able to interact with each thought, each prayer, in a way we cannot even imagine. And whatever it is that maybe if you're thinking He's not looking, maybe you think you're hiding something from Him, but the fact is He sees exactly what you're trying to hide. But He says, if you will come to Me, if you'll trust Me, and the picture of trusting here is in the waiting, if you'll quit fighting, quit trying to do it yourself, and wait, God's got this. God's got it. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that wherever you're at, You may be here today, and it honestly may seem a little bit offensive to you to hear that if you're in a situation where that you've really been struggling. And you may be thinking something like this. You know, Brother Eddie, you don't know, but anytime you begin to speak about God and you say, I know what the Bible says, but you're headed in a downhill trajectory. And what he's saying here is he's saying, wait on me and I will renew your strength. Does God know how to deliver strength to other people? Do we see pictures of it in Scripture? When we go back to the prophets, we see Elijah outrun a chariot, literally, whenever God told him to go ahead of King Ahab. When we look back into the heroes of the Old Testament, we see a man named Samson. And the Bible says the secret of his strength wasn't that he worked out at Gold's Gym, but the fact that God empowered him. And he lost that strength when he did not know that God had departed from him. When we look at the things that we see in Scripture, we often see God empowering people to do things to us that look absolutely impossible. I wonder if Joseph, in forgiving his brothers, really had the power within himself to do that, or if that was a work of God that helped him to get there. I believe it was. I know there's nothing in me that leans that direction in my flesh when somebody wrongs me. It has to be something where God takes over and God begins to help. You see, his strength takes on many different forms. He knows how to strengthen you, particularly in the place where you're at right now. So here's the question for me today. Will you start the new year trying to stand in your own strength? Or will you say, Lord, I really want to walk in yours. Lord, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know where that's going to take me. I don't know how it's all going to happen. But Lord, your word says it's available. Help me to learn how to wait right. It's not inactivity. It's continuing to be faithful about what God's called you to do until he shows you the next step. Stay at the place. When you're lacking direction, stay at the last place where you know that you heard God plainly. And wait. And let him work. And as he does that, then you'll be surprised at what's able to happen. Because it's beyond me, it's beyond you, and it's even beyond what we can do together. When we operate in his strength and not ours. And that is available for you today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for this time that we have together. And Lord, your word says that in our weakness, Lord, you are glorified. Lord, we come right now and we confess our weakness. We confess at times our lack of faith and trust. And Lord, we ask you to help us to recognize the greatness and the glory of who you are and the fact that you have chosen to allow us to be your children and to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, please stand.